Welcome, everybody, to an all-new Cap Crusher Radio. Number to call, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228 for those of you listening live on morelikeradio.com and watching us on facebook.com/CapCrusherPod. My name is Hammy. Joining me in studio is, as always, Michael, no longer hipster punchy, Falcone. And Mike, Extreme Rules is this Sunday.
God, remember when Extreme Rules used to be attached to something awesome?
Remember when it was called One Night Stand?
I remember only being a few short years ago, me going to Extreme Rules for an insane Shield versus Evolution match.
I remember when Rob Van Dam beat John Cena for the WWE title
at One Night Stand.
I remember that.
I remember.
But nevertheless, we have just a couple days to go for Extreme Rules 2017, five men will compete for essentially a glorified number one contender. Number one contender is about to face Brock Lesnar at, and I still can't believe I'm saying his pay-per-view name, Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
Which is probably the worst named thing ever since syphilis, but let's not get into who named what. Let's not bog down over that. Let's talk about the big pay-per-view. We will get to our preview and predictions. But once again, in the world of WWE, there is another story that is bigger than the pay-per-view this coming weekend, and that is, of course, the now confirmed first ever women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Commissioner Shane McMahon announced on SmackDown Live just last night that six women will participate in a Money in the Bank ladder match. And Mike, this can only be this is a huge step in the progress of women's wrestling.
It is. I mean, we've been having a lot of firsts lately with different types of gimmick matches. Falls Count Anywhere match, Hell in a Cell match, a tables match. This is going to be the next natural step in the progression. And, I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot of women on the roster who have probably done those ladder matches now. Most likely Becky Lynch, like probably Sasha. Like any one of them that has like an indie background, they've probably done ladder matches before. Money in the Bank's a different animal due to all the variables in one of those matches. But it is awesome that they're going to get their chance to do a Money in the Bank match. The only thing I wish about Money in the Bank is that it was a dual brand pay-per-view.
I wish so too, but nevertheless, we have to realize that this is a significant step forward in the eyes of women's wrestling, because just this year we had the very first women's Hell in a Cell match between Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair. We had several women's table matches. We had we had several big gimmick matches for the women, and now it's a step further because the winner gets a guaranteed women's championship match.
And the
participants for this historic match are Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Carmella, Natalya, and Tamina Snuka. These women are going to... They have a very rare opportunity here. They have a golden chance now to show Shane McMahon, the fans, and the head honchos at WWE that they belong in the main event scene, and I'm pretty happy about this. I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to the match. What does this say to you?
Like I said, I'm a fan of the idea of the match. I mean, the only problem I have with the match itself is there's not that many people that you can say are expected to win that match. I mean, really, of the five, I can only honestly say two people that I think will win that match. Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I think those are the only two names that actually make sense for this.
But it
doesn't mean that Tamina might not have a big spot, and this doesn't mean that Becky Lynch won't have a big spot there. But speaking of big spots, When I hear Money in the Bank ladder match, I think big spots. Every big ladder match that we've ever seen in WWE, we have a big spot or two or three, and a lot of people get injured. Now, a concern that some people have for this match are the women are going to be put in a position to get themselves injured because they'll be doing spots like the men. And some people are saying that the women don't have as much muscle mass as the men to break their fall or like help their bodies. To which I say, you know, these ladies have been busting their ass to get to a point in their careers where they're being considered at all to be put in this position as the men. And I think they know, just as any wrestler would know, that going into a match in general could be the last one you do. Because unlike other pro sports out there, pro wrestling, it takes two to tango in a match. Yep. Or in this case, four, five, six. There are, and at any point, a simple clothesline can ruin your career and break your neck, possibly kill you, or cause some catastrophic damage to your body that will make you unable to wrestle ever again. So I think these women, more than anything, aside from wanting a chance to have the same type of gimmick matches as the men, I think, Mike, they are going into this knowing that they have as much of a risk of getting injured as much as the men. And I don't think they give a damn about muscle mass, body size, the way they're going to fall.
No, yeah, they're going to...
They don't give a shit. But like, I do have concerns because in the Hell in a Cell match between Sasha Banks and Charlotte, they didn't do as much of crazy... They didn't do as many crazy spots as I thought they were going to do.
They were told not to.
And I think what you just said, Mike, they're going to be told not to go too crazy in this match.
Yeah, which, I mean, could technically be considered condescending that there's, hey, no, like, you're a female, so you can't. But, I mean, I could see why someone would be worried because the women's divisions aren't that deep yet because of the brand split. I mean, but let's face it. I mean, like, look at someone like Carmella, who's got very little muscle mass. She's a twig. And I can see why someone would be worried about her taking some of the bumps that you could take in that match. I think she'll be the one doing like the high flying stuff for some of the spots. Like everyone else is pretty much like a mat wrestler or a bruiser in the case of Tamina. So I think Carmella is going to be the one, if they do any insane spots, that'll be doing the leaping off a ladder.
I agree. I think Becky Lynch is going to do a high spot as well. Yeah.
I think Natalya will go through a few tables in this match because she's like she took the table spot on Tuesday on SmackDown, so.
And that leads a question of who do we think is going to win this? And I think the one that makes the most sense is Charlotte Flair.
That way they can they can eventually turn Charlotte heel and use that as the preface.
Because I think she works far better as a heel, mm-hmm, than this faux face run that she's been doing with the tag team match at Backlash. I mean, this just has not been working. I really miss heel Charlotte because I think that's where she thrives way more as a heel, because she's in a rare position where she could just say who she is and who she's related to, yeah, and that will get instant heat.
And by the way, I brought this point on Twitter, and King disagreed because he saw it as Ellsworth being a heel manager, heat magnet heel manager. Putting Ellsworth with Carmella has hurt Carmella's progression as a heel.
Oh, this is going to be a first on camera, so you guys on camera are seeing this. I'm agreeing with Mike. 100%.
Like,
I'm agreeing, and not just because I hate James Ellsworth and I want to see the pimple on my ass gone, but he is doing... I didn't think anyone could bury Carmella more
than Ellsworth.
But James Ellsworth is proving me wrong yet again of just how much, just how despised he is. The charade, the joke is over. And just like before Trump became president, look, guys, we let Trump become president. We need to stop James Ellsworth from being popular or involved with the storyline before it gets too far. The joke has to end at some point for James Ellsworth.
Although, let's be honest, I don't think anyone would be outraged if Kathy Griffin did a picture with James Ellsworth's head beheaded.
No, see, Kathy, look, Kathy, you might be in the barrel. You might be in the barrel right now because CNN's firing you because you made a joke and did some quote unquote art photo about Trump. But if you did something like that for James Ellsworth, I wouldn't be. You know what? My outrage would be gone.
Hammy would start watching on demand My Life on the D-List.
Absolutely. That would be my new favorite show. Team Kathy, I would say. I would get a big giant t-shirt that say Team Kathy. If you did what you did, like the photo you did of Trump with James Ellsworth, except if it really was James Ellsworth's head. That's what I want from you, Kathy. You're a redhead, so you naturally have no soul to begin with. Thank you, South Park. But please, just can someone please get James Ellsworth off the TV?
Oh, God,
the time has come for James Ellsworth to go.
Duh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Every time I hear duh, I want to murder a litter of puppies.
Duh.
That's it. Newborn huskies, you're going to die.
It's the... Oh, God, he's the worst. Like, and here's the thing. And one example that I was showing
him...
This
is worse than anything Vince Russo could have booked.
Yeah. One example that was said to me was Paul Heyman... like being a heat magnet for a manager. But here's the difference between Paul Heyman and James Ellsworth. When James Ellsworth is talking on behalf of Carmella, people are booing James Ellsworth and Carmella becomes the afterthought. When people are booing during a Paul Heyman promo, they're booing the wrestler he's representing as Paul Heyman is selling that wrestler as a bad guy. Therein lies the difference between Paul Heyman and James Ellsworth. Paul Heyman gets his guy over. Unless it's Cesaro and Curtis Axel and Ryback. But that's just WWE being shitty with those guys. But still, though, he helped Punk become just even more of an over heel.
I hate James Ellsworth so much that if I had a choice between getting syphilis and watching James Ellsworth, I would be cheering for syphilis. I would be happy that I have syphilis.
Brother, how much shit do you think the independent scene from where Ellsworth comes from is talking about Ellsworth right now?
Oh my God, they must hate him. Because here are these indie guys that are just trying so hard. You are trying so hard to make a living in the world of wrestling. And here's this... Here's this plankton. Here's this Neanderthal of a bacteria, James Ellsworth.
Oh, nice.
Getting TV time.
Oh, nice Offspring skull tattoo, shitbird.
As a fan of the Offspring, you're a disgrace.
You're no longer a fan of the Offspring because of that tattoo, aren't you?
Yes, I am boycotting the Offspring.
See what you've done, James Ellsworth? They just lost a fan because of you. Duh.
That's it. Another murder. Another litter of puppies is going to be murdered. How many litters of puppies will die because you're saying duh? So far, we're up to three now, counting the one I just did. Three litters of puppies are going to be murdered.
No, they don't count if you say it, so it's only two.
Two litters of puppies are going to be drowned.
Duh.
Three.
Now we're back to three.
Every time I hear that, a litter of puppies is going to die. So,
I wish I could run some sound bites here so I could just keep playing with duh.
Four. So let's get back on track here. Let's be a little more serious because here's something that is a little Captain Obvious here. But since WrestleMania 32, I think WWE has done far more for their women on the roster than they have in the past 15 years. Easily the past 15 years. Not since the heyday of the Attitude Era has the women's division on WWE been taken as seriously, has given this much time to promote themselves, given this much time to develop themselves. WWE has done far more for their women's division in the past 2 years than they have in the past 15.
And I'm glad, because there's like, look at the talented women's wrestlers who were kind of shuffled to the deck when they were like, concentrating on pushing the bikini models. Like Gail Kim, for example, was just shoved to the side for like no talent bikini models.
She was just recently interviewed on Busted Open a couple of weeks ago, and she said on Busted Open that the breakup with WWE, essentially, this is what I got from this interview, because she said that her home is TNA wrestling. When you are saying that you would possibly turn down a WWE contract to go back to TNA, that speaks volumes.
I remember the
on how bad the WWE treated their female wrestlers back in that day, because her and Natalya were like the only two real wrestlers
in that division
in
for
that
a while.
Entire division.
I think one of the complaints, oh, and Beth Phoenix was around too. Like,
yes.
I think one of her main complaints was that they were trying to force her to get a boob job.
I don't know if that's legit. Is that legit?
I supposedly, that is the case. Which is not doesn't surprise me because
it was so bad that I'm even saying I wouldn't be surprised at that.
I'm gonna look that up, but I'm pretty sure that was one of the main complaints.
But think about this. One of the best moment of WrestleMania 32. Was that women's match. The best thing about WrestleMania 32 was the reincarnation of the women's championship.
Yep. Finally getting
and
rid of it.
And this has been building for quite a while. When it was still called the Divas Division, they were still giving the female wrestlers time to perform and give great matches to the crowds. But at WrestleMania 32, they really said, you know what? This is it. This is what we're going to do. We are going to give the women a chance to succeed. And to the credit of Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Bayley, and all the other women who have come now, either from NXT or that horrible Divas division, which thankfully is all gone now. The last remnants of that Divas division, Eva Marie, is no longer with the WWE. Thank Christ for that. It is now... All of the women on WWE TV are women who belong in that division. All of the women deserve a spot on that card. And this Money in the Bank title, this Money in the Bank ladder match is hopefully, I'm praying to the wrestling gods out there, not you, JBL, but I'm praying to the wrestling gods out there that the women tear the house down. I am hoping they seal the show, and I think people are going to watch this match just because of the historic implications that this match has. So let's transition from the good about the women's division, because we're giving the ladies a lot of love right now, but like in every corporate setting, we're going to go from, yeah, you know, this was good, your TPS reports this week were really good, but here comes the but, and ironically mentioning saying but, we're going to talk about Alexa Bliss, because that This Is Your Life segment that she did on Raw with Bayley. I mean, let's just give them the trophy right now for worst segment of the year.
Yeah, we don't even need to do that segment.
And this is a world where TNA still exists.
Oh,
and we're giving Alexa Bliss the worst promo of the year.
Yeah. Before we get into that, the sidebar, Gail Kim's reason for leaving was at the time they were not taking the women's division seriously, and her final match was a Divas Battle Royal where she eliminated herself right away because they told her to get herself eliminated quickly. And she was like, you know what, if the company won't respect the women's wrestlers, then why should I even respect their decision, like how they want me to do things?
It makes perfect sense.
So back to that shitty segment. They made two no-name characters who were just used for that segment more important than the actual match itself. It did more.
I was excited last week when Alexa Bliss took that kendo stick and smacked the shit out of Bayley with that kendo stick. I was pumped for this match.
And then
as excited as I was, that segment brought me right back to reality.
Yeah. It was bad. It was pointless. Like, why do that segment? And between that and the table of three, Vince Russo was like, oh, will I get credit for them stealing stuff from me? But, oh, God. Why? Why was that even
necessary? And it also doesn't help that the crowd there immediately started with the what chance.
What?
And to Alexa's credit, she has been
handling them very well.
Yes, she's been doing very well with the what chance. But there comes a time where, you know, there's a reason why they're giving you the what chance. There's a reason why the crowd boos you. There's a reason why the crowd turns on you. It's because you're not delivering a quality product.
But she's...
I don't blame the crowd fully on this. I blame them in their part of doing the what chance just because they want to chance.
I'll blame the crowd because they pick the worst times to do that shit. Someone who's actually doing a good job is when they decide to shit on the show.
But this was a segment that took a pretty hot crowd, if I'm being honest. The Monday Night Raw crowd this week was pretty good.
And they died
for a Memorial Day show, for a holiday show. The Monday Night Raw crowd was pretty good. And that segment just completely ruined it. Is it the worst segment of the year so far?
Hey, maybe WWE decided to do that to kill the crowd before Roman beat Rollins clean. Like, maybe they're like, hey, maybe if they're too tired from hating that segment, they won't boo Reigns when he beats Rollins tonight.
I mean, honestly, this may go down as one of the worst segments in Raw history. I mean, here it is. I think it was most likely doomed from the beginning.
It's
because as soon as they got out there, the crowd was still going with the what. And someone who is as talented as Alexa Bliss does not deserve the what chance, guys. She is one of the, and I'm not just saying this because I want Kane on the show more often, and I'm sucking up to his hero, his current crush at the time, Alexa Bliss. But I honestly believe that she is the most improved women's wrestler this past year.
Overall.
I'm saying overall most improved. I'm not saying she's the best, but I'm saying she's the most improved. And someone of that caliber, I'm wondering why someone as good as she is getting the what chance. Because I want to enjoy this product. I want to enjoy the program. I want to be interested in Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. And you know what? To be honest, their first match, I was interested. But now, I'm not so interested in their Extreme Rules match.
Like, shit like that is why Vince doesn't take the smarks seriously. Shit
exactly.
Like
and you know what? Worse, Vince could have looked at the segment and could have been like, you know what? The fans aren't interested in this women's program.
Yeah, that could have ruined women's wrestling in WWE. They've been doing so much progress-wise. Vince would be like, yeah, let's get the girls in the bikinis again. Arr.
No, please, please no. I want to end the topic, because we're getting like half the show here to the subject of the women. I want to end on two more notes here. Asuka, recently on NXT, broke Bill Goldberg's undefeated streak and is still your NXT Women's Champion. What does it say about Asuka?
She's one of the best wrestlers in the roster overall, and I'm glad someone who actually takes bumps has that record now. Like, I couldn't think of anyone more deserving to get that honor. She's just been a beast, and her style has been translating very well to the WWE product. So kudos to her. I'm glad they're taking her seriously, and I hope that continues in the main roster.
I completely agree, and I want to end this segment about the women's division on this. There is a new trailer out, and, you know, I purposely didn't pay attention to this trailer because I want a legitimate reaction. Mike, you informed me that this trailer is getting a negative reaction.
Not negative. Why? No, like not negative. Right? It's actually getting a pretty good reaction.
But, like, didn't you say something about people getting pissed off because of something minuscule or something like that?
There were some people who were, like, the typical, oh, of course, everything's going to be all about women. It's called, like, those kind of trolls.
Those kind of assholes. Yeah. Okay. So, what is this? What is GLOW?
So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people know about Glory, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling from the 80s. They're actually making a TV show about a fictional account of how it was formed as a Netflix sitcom. It's got Alison Brie, Mark Maron, Awesome Kong actually plays a character in there. And it's very 80s-centric. It looks very good. I'll let Hammy play it up so you guys can watch it for the first time if you haven't seen it yet.
In this world, there are good guys and there are bad guys. And I will not be bullied into submission.
Alison Brie looks so different there.
You're reading the man's part.
Oh, God.
Would you like to start over?
Yes, I would.
I will not be bullied into submission.
Sorry to interrupt. Your wife is online, too? I'm interested in real parts. Got $83 in my bank account, and I don't know if I can pay my gas bill.
Ruth, there's an audition. They're looking for unconventional women, whatever that means.
Hello, ladies. I'm Sam Sylvia, and this is GLOW.
Sorry, what's GLOW?
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Are you hiring actors to play wrestlers, or are we the wrestlers?
Go!
Yes.
Woo! Christ. Fucking actresses. Okay, I want you to meet the star of GLOW, Debbie Egan.
Are you insane? Why is she here?
She's the alpha and you're the omega. Submit. She might kill you.
This is Sebastian Howard, our producer.
This is my first Hollywood party.
There are drugs in the fucking robot.
Thank you.
That is so 80s.
Yeah, it is.
You're a sexy party girl. You're an Arab.
You mean stereotype.
Yes, bingo, exactly. You're a big black girl.
The fuck you say?
Lady wrestlers. I get it. Women can do anything men do. Blah, blah, blah.
We'll get wild, wild, wild.
How'd that look?
I got chills.
Yeah, you would.
Marin's deadpan delivery.
Howard, we're the hero.
You want the show to happen.
This is the only place I get to do what I want to do.
People respect me here.
We gotta shoot this thing in like 5 weeks. This could either feel dinky or it could feel epic. So let's give them what?
Blood. Tits!
Storytelling. Storytelling.
The first two answers describe WWE's Divas Division.
This is about holding on to what's ours.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, yeah. I don't understand.
It's like a pretty good. Like,
it looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Like I said, some people were just complaining about it being female centric, who just don't get the point of what GLOW was.
I mean, if you're gonna watch a show about gorgeous ladies of wrestling, I mean, if the promotion was called Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, why are you complaining that the cast is mostly female?
It's from the same logic of War on Christmas and.
Oh my God. Why? This is the... I mean, it's not like James Ellsworth's on your TV every week.
Duh!
Five. I mean, it's not like the pimple on my ass is trying to bury Carmella, basically. And, I mean, it looks good to me. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I have a Netflix subscription, and I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch GLOW. It looks pretty good. With the little time that we have left, you know what? We haven't taken a break on an episode in quite a while. So, you know what? Let's do that. Let's take a break. We're going to come back with, the preview and predictions of Extreme Rules 2017. And what? We're going to talk about NXT, among other things. This is Calf Crusher Radio. Stay right there. We will be right back right after
this.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you 420 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both a regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
The best radio on the internet is only one click away at morelikeradio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out morelikeradio.com and subscribe on iTunes.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Yeah, the one in 21 and duh,
seven.
So, we're back on yet another episode of Calf Crusher Radio, named after a fantastic move done by AJ Styles.
It was very happy. I was very happy to see
our
namesake used as an offensive maneuver for AJ Styles in a losing effort to Dolph Ziggler, though. That's confusing to me.
Yeah, that is, okay, now, you know what, though? Like, the favorites in a match like Money in the Bank usually eat some pins quite a bit during the build. It's to make people think that other people could possibly win the match. I know Ambrose lost a few matches during the build to Money in the Bank. I know Rollins lost all the matches in that build. I know even, like, Elimination Chamber as well. The year Orton was champion and came out champion, he lost to, like, most of the other competitors there. So, I mean, it does nothing to hurt AJ. I think AJ's built up enough, like, in his short run in WWE, that a one loss to Ziggler is not going to screw him over. I mean, and he won his match with not him and Nakamura facing Owens and...
But the question that I have about this is, when is enough enough? How many more losses can Styles take before you say... All right, Styles to me looks a little bit...
But here's the thing.
He looks like damaged goods now.
No, but he's not, though, because he took one loss.
But how many more would it be until you say, you know what?
It would depend on how it's done in respect to the storyline. I mean, we're talking about Ziggler beating him as if it were like he's on like a losing streak and now he's losing to like Heath Slater.
Fair enough.
I mean, Dolph Ziggler is a former world champion. I mean, if they wanted to put Ziggler on equal footing for the Money in the Bank match, have him beat AJ, and then AJ will win a rematch between the two because no one can get a winning streak against someone in WWE. So, like, AJ will eventually get the win back.
You know what? Jeremy Johnson on the Facebook chat, by the way, I want to be a little more listener... Listener interactive here. Hammy relax. Big Cass is turning heel and he'll invade and pop the pimple for you. Thank you. I hope he does.
he will. I'll say this real quick before we get into the next talking point. Listen, if it's not Big Cass, who's revealed as the attacker of Enzo, I will do a 2-minute ballad of my love for James Ellsworth and call it Duh the Musical.
Eight litters of puppies are going to be murdered because of you.
So I will do that if it's anyone but Cass, which, I mean, let's be honest. So for
Duh
those who don't...
Musical.
Nine. I know you said it. Never mind.
The music. That's great. Describes almost everything that's on Broadway right now.
Move over, Hamilton. Here comes Duh.
Nine.
So, Now, here's the thing, that for those who haven't been watching Raw, and I don't blame you because Raw's been drizzling shits.
Let's be honest and compare here. SmackDown hasn't been perfect as well.
But SmackDown's been a lot better than Raw.
Overall, I would still say yes, but SmackDown has gone down drastically in overall quality.
They've been picking up a little bit. I think they needed, like, after the Superstar shakeup, they needed some time for the new pieces to gel. Because Raw was largely unaffected. I mean, Raw's got so many people on the roster. I mean, the people that they sent over there...
I can only imagine how hard it must be to juggle that.
Yeah. The people who were sent to SmackDown were already interacting with each other. So, like, it really didn't hurt Raw. It hurt SmackDown a lot more. Because, like, SmackDown had to do more of a reshuffle of their deck than Raw did. So, SmackDown's finding their footing. And again, Raw trying to make Jinder Mahal their top champion versus SmackDown trying to make Jinder Mahal their top champion, it doesn't look as credible on Raw. Like, you fans don't invest in it as much as they did on Raw than they are with SmackDown. So it's a matter of them, even though I think they should have built Mahal up a little bit before putting the world title on him, like giving him like...
I think so too, but I think he's been doing excellent with what he's been given so far.
I mean, yes.
I mean, he is seizing a obvious opportunity here.
Well, yes, but the problem is there's still going to be that segment of fans who are going to resent him because they think he's really just wearing that title because of a marketing chip for India.
Right.
Almost like they're like, oh shit, TNA's doing taping shows soon in India. We've got to do something to get them latched to us before TNA does. So they put the belt on Jinder Mahal. And a lot of fans are going to feel that way. They might be right, they might be wrong. But
you may be wrong, but you may be right.
But
stupid shit I distract myself with.
But I think they should have built him up a little more before doing this, just for his sake. Like, he's doing well now, but there's still the chance that fans might not take as fully as they should, versus if they had just built it up a little bit longer. Because there's still some people like, really? He was a jobber like 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, they would have helped him more by giving him, by building him up, like, more before having that happen. So, they've been doing segments where Enzo is attacked by a mystery person.
It's all pointing to Cass.
Yeah, it's going to be Cass, let's be honest. Reports are they're going to break them up because the team's pretty much run their course, and now they've got the Hardys to kind of be the top babyface team for a while.
Amazing that the New Day is still going in the tag team division, and they're thinking of breaking up Enzo and Cass because they feel like that Enzo and Cass have run their course.
Yeah. So the current clue that makes it like it's probably Cass, after the first week of Enzo being laid out backstage, like, or that being shown, Corey Graves said something to the effect of, I would love to shake the hand of the man who beat up Enzo Amore. So Corey Graves said something like, oh, it could have also been Cass. Like, and it prompted Cass to come out and confront Corey Graves about it. He's saying, whoa, Foley's doing investigation. I'm doing my own investigation. And then he's like, no, really, you should do your own investigation. Cass then goes, I will, and then shakes Graves' hand. So they almost do it on the down low, similar to the way that they did the whole Destroyer thing with Samoa Joe. There was another thing they did too that, like, they tied in a song to. The one of the main NXT TakeOver Chicago songs being Judas. The same night, like, Ciampa beats up Gargano. So if it's not Cass, I will do a ballad of James Ellsworth. So there's an issue I have, though, with certain wrestlers in the WWE main roster product right now. Randy Orton and Baron Corbin, for the same reason. I'm tired of these guys taking pot shots at the indies.
Yeah, this was one of... I wouldn't say one of... This was the big controversy in the wrestling world.
Yeah.
The past week and a half now, it's Orton versus the entire independent circuit.
And you know, Randy Orton, get off your high horse, okay? Like, the only reason you're still with the company... is because WWE changed around their wellness policy to avoid firing you so you could go to TNA so many times. You've been given more chances that there's so many fuck-ups. So, like, this new On His High Horse Randy Orton, I'm not a fan of it. He was mocking indie shows for the amount of dives they do and saying how it looks unrealistic.
You know, hashtag dive was trending on Twitter. Thank you, Randy.
Not everyone, we get it, not everyone can be a master of the headlock, which, by the way, Kevin Owens is better at those than you anyway. Or is he threatened that the indie scene is starting to get main eventers in WWE, and that's going to make him a little more expendable?
Here's the thing. I mean, here's you know, you would think that I'm going to go on a epic long tirade here. I'm not, because it's quite simply it's quite simply this. Guys like Randy Orton have never had to work in the indies.
No, and Baron
Corbin him and Baron Corbin are, I hate throwing around the term privileged. I hate it. But Randy Orton and Baron Corbin, you are making me say this, and I do not like you for that. Baron Corbin and Randy Orton, while hard workers who I'm not saying that they're not taking their job seriously, I want to believe that they are fully trying at what they do. But they've never had to eat vending machine snacks as meals while traveling across country in a beat up van.
The worst Randy Orton had to do was eat MREs.
Like almost everyone on the independent scene.
The worst Orton had to do was eat MREs before deserting the military.
Yeah, it's not a good look for you if you are at the top of WWE and you're looking down at the independent circuit, knowing that you've never had to go there.
Yeah,
knowing that you've never had to, quote unquote, suffer and work there. And Randy Orton, if he ever does get fired or have to retire early from WWE, he is set for life because he is a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
He has made all the money he's ever going to need from WWE. Baron Corbin, on the other hand,
by the way, which Baron Corbin,
I'm sure he's made a decent chunk of change.
From the amount of people dumb enough to buy his stupid wolf t-shirts.
Those stupid people are bikers. Okay? Those stupid people are the type of people that believe Sons of Anarchy is a documentary. Those are the people. Those are the stupid villains of Far Cry 5 that buy Baron Corbin shirts and like Baron Corbin. You know what? You deserve to be gunned down like bacteria in Far Cry because people like you are like Baron Corbin.
Hey, let's cry about that game and say make him Canadian or Muslim and then call other people snowflakes.
Yes, yes, let's do that. Because that logic is just sound.
That's some Baron Corbin shit.
Yes, thank you. That is some Baron Corbin shit. I don't know how to tie that back in with wrestling.
Here's the thing, though, and that's what annoys me with Baron Corbin. Because he made,
aside from everything?
An indie wrestler made a joke about his hairline, and Baron Corbin was like, yeah, well, you know what? I'm a pro. I get paid to do this. You do this for what? Like, pop chips and $5, maybe?
Here's the thing. If you're being paid to do a job, you're a professional.
Doesn't matter what you're paid. You're a professional.
And even the term professional, that could be the term used to how you describe yourself. If you call yourself a professional, you're a professional. If you're a professional wrestler, it doesn't matter if you're wrestling at Madison Square Garden or your local Knights of Columbus. You're a professional, and you're performing. You're being paid to perform in front of a crowd, no matter how big or small. And your style, look, I'm not saying Randy Orton and Baron Corbin are the most gifted athletes, but Baron Corbin does have something that not a lot of people in WWE have. He was a professional football player.
Yeah, and he failed at it.
It doesn't matter.
To me, he
is one of the few, one in a billion people who can say that I have had the opportunity to at least play in the NFL. I have had the opportunity to play at the highest level of the sport. But playing professional football, just ask Bill Goldberg.
Okay, but here's the thing,
though. Goldberg was not that bad of a football player. He wasn't spectacular, but he wasn't no slouch. He played professional football And look how gassed he got easily when he transitioned to wrestling. Just because you're a pro athlete at another sport doesn't mean that you can succeed in pro wrestling.
Which is,
look at Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
One of the scariest men to ever play professional football.
One of the best defensive players in the history of the NFL.
He main evented WrestleMania.
He gassed out so quickly.
And if you want to compare guys like Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman, who had that tag team match with Hogan and Dallas Page, they were in a tag match, so they had the opportunity to just switch out and catch their breath.
But
they were able to at least do a couple of moves and make it look presentable.
Corbin's like, I'm just going to do punches.
I'm not sitting there saying Baron Corbin is a crappy athlete. No, he's actually quite talented.
He's a crappy wrestler.
He's not a good pro wrestler.
And he's not a good talker. Seriously.
No. One of the best parts about SmackDown last night was Kevin Owens talking to Nakamura.
Yep.
And Nakamura, he doesn't speak perfect English, but he speaks enough English to where you can actually understand what he's saying. Nakamura showed more personality and more flair than anything Baron Corbin has said.
Yeah. The people I know who do audio production, a fun project one day would be to take promos of Randy Orton and Baron Corbin and have them both fill each other's dead air. Because they talk like this. And I'm the lone viper.
That would be cool.
It's the same.
As someone who does work in audio production, I don't want to do it because I don't want to fall asleep doing it.
Because you would have to listen to promos of Baron Corbin and Randy Orton.
Yes, I don't want to do that.
They're both so boring. And okay, I get it.
And pro wrestling, to me, pro wrestling is the greatest form of entertainment on the planet because there are so many different styles of wrestling from all different walks of life. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, regarded as one of the greatest stars in the history of pro wrestling. I'm not going to disagree with that.
But he had the gift for jab, too.
He would never be able to do what Rey Mysterio could do. Rey Mysterio couldn't do what Stone Cold did. The Undertaker couldn't do what a lot of luchadors have, and I don't believe anyone will ever be able to do what The Undertaker did.
I know, but like
there are different styles everywhere.
But here's the thing, too, and my main issue with, like, oh my god, stupid Corbin. There were people who were like, oh, well, he sounded cool on an episode of Talking Smack, so, like, he's improving. But then since that, he's been the same boring, methodical, shitty self that he is. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, The Miz, though, look at him. Yeah, The Miz, who can work the microphone, who does a safe style that still looks impressive.
The Miz has a gift of getting the crowd to react.
It's like, oh boy, the Miz did that. Duh, the Miz is great on the mic.
10.
Sorry, you did it. 10 litters of puppies are going to be murdered. You did it. You reached it. You know what? We were getting up to 5, 6, 7. Come on. I know somewhere in that stupid head of yours, you're going to get to 10, prompting me to play this damn song. It is a good entrance scene.
It's fantastic.
So, you did it. 10 litters of puppies are going to be murdered because you mentioned James Ellsworth and said the D word. So, thank you. So, with that, let's get to... we have a pay-per-view. We have 8 minutes left in the show. We have a pay-per-view to get to on Sunday. WWE Extreme Rules. Now, instead of going over the card and giving you our preview and prediction, which we're going to, but we're not going to spend as much time detailing the card. Let's go over the main event, because the main event is a Fatal 5-Way Extreme Rules match. And the winner is the number one contender to face Brock Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire for the Universal title.
Goodness gracious.
Yes. Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen, let's go to the five participants in the match. And let's do a little fantasy booking. How would you book the match versus Brock Lesnar if, let's say, Roman Reigns won?
Spear.
Like,
Superman
what would be the program
punch,
going into it?
I mean, honestly, it would harp on the fact that Roman Reigns has not been able to beat Brock Lesnar. And probably I'm going, oh, good for you. You beat The Undertaker. Brock freaking Lesnar beat The Undertaker and ended his streak. He beat him when he was that much younger and that much fresher than when Roman Reigns got him. I'm sure at that point they would have Roman Reigns win the title with everyone booing the shit out of him. And again, then maybe that would be the preface for a heel turn, but probably not. I'll even give you guys some extra. If Seth Rollins wins, it'll the whole preface for that will be Seth Rollins stealing the title at WrestleMania 31. And Rollins saying that this time he's going to, and he'll do it again, this time at Great Balls of Fire. Hashtag trademark whoever wrote the song.
If Roman wins, which I think is going to be the deciding factor here. If Roman wins, we get a rehash of what their program was at WrestleMania 31. If it wasn't for Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns would have slayed the Beast. And that's going to be it.
I was going to beat you.
You know, you coulda, you shoulda, you almost did, you still didn't do it.
Yeah.
And that's going to be if Roman Reigns wins. What if my man, Bray Wyatt, wins? And before you say your answer, Mike, this is simple. Bray Wyatt can come out. He's going to do his culty. He's going to do his cult thing that he does. He's going to come out and be like, you people all know the answer. Paul Heyman has been poisoning you, here to cure you.
No. I'll do you one better. What I need you to do, though, is turn the lights off and keep the monitors on.
No, I'm not going to do that because I value video quality.
You can't dim the lights?
No.
No? Okay. They're these lies that an advocate has told you.
Oh, God. Punchy Wyatt's here.
About a beast who conquers all. Blah, blah, blah. Something about exposing lies from advocates and yada, yada.
Blah, blah, blah. You lose.
He'll lose the match because it's Brock Lesnar. And like they probably eventually are going to do a reboot, reset under the Wyatt character. But
I hope.
Which he needs.
They're rebooting everything these days. I want a reboot on the Wyatt character. If Seth Rollins wins...
I already said mine, so go ahead.
I think it's as simple as I've beaten everyone on the roster. I've beaten everyone there is to beat. I know I can slay the Beast because I've slayed everyone. I've beaten you. I slayed the King. I'm going to slay the Beast. There you go. There's your tagline. Now, the most interesting of this whole contest is if Samoa Joe wins. Oh, is that a good one?
Samoa Joe wins, that sound you hear
is going to be a sound of every mark in the world.
Coming.
It's going to be every mark in the world jizzing their pants at the thought of this.
Jim Cornbuck, son of a bitch, that should have happened at WrestleMania.
I think it's just
simple. They should have saved that for WrestleMania, but of course they had to fucking rush it.
You know what? Damn you, Vince Russo. It's going to be simple. Joe's going to come out. He's going to say, Brock, you've been destroying people for years, but I'm the real destroyer. You can't destroy the destroyer.
The beast will not destroy the destroyer, or something like that.
And the last but not least, and I think if Roman doesn't win, I think he is my pick for the main event.
I absolutely think Balor's winning this.
Finn Balor. He won't come out in his biker jacket. He's going to come out as a demon. Because Finn Balor, the man, can't slay the beast. But the only thing that could slay a beast is the Demon King.
Yep.
And we're going to see the return of the Demon King at Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, but I want to see it if we get the return of Rambo Apocalypse.
I want that too.
Fucking Rollins. What a dick.
All right, so let's...
Also, by the way, the only way Balor wins against Lesnar is if Paul Heyman turns on Lesnar and becomes the advocate for... Which I think they're teasing a little bit.
I think they teased it last week on Raw. So let's go through the card, and we will head out. So in no particular order, this is the card for WWE Extreme Rules 2017. We have Rich Swann and Sasha Banks versus Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. Mixed tag team match.
I'll shit on someone's porch if it's not Sasha and Rich Swann. That's how sure I am that it's Sasha and Rich Swann on that
one. You know, just for that, I'll add another litter of puppies to be murdered if Sasha Banks and Rich Swann don't go over here. it makes the most sense. They've been they've been looked at as the ones that are going to win because I believe Noam and Alicia have had the upper hand the past couple of weeks on Raw. WWE Cruiserweight Championship match in a submission match, Neville versus Austin Aries, and this is the third match in this program. Their first two matches were great at WrestleMania, and I want to say, fuck, I don't even remember the pay-per-view. I'm so bad at this.
Payback.
There we go. Their matches at Payback and WrestleMania have been great. I see this being just as good, and I think Austin Aries gets the title from Neville here.
Yeah, I think they want to keep this program going for a while, and the only way to do that at this point is Neville is Aries winning the title.
So I think we're both picking Aries to win this one here. Raw Tag Team Championship. The Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus in a steel cage. And by what we said last week about WWE not being interested in the broken gimmick, Matt Hardy would not be smiling the way he is in this photo right here.
Exactly. If WWE were not
interested, they would have made him dyed his hair too.
This is another feud that's going to go on for a while because there's really no other team until the Revival gets better. Until Scott Dawson heals. There's no team that they can prop up to feud with the Hardys now. So, again, another instance of continuing a feud. It needs to be, hey, 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 Sheamus and Cesaro. Hey, hey, hey.
I think we're going to be pretty boring here. We're going to agree with every pick so far. Because I'm picking Sheamus and Cesaro as well. The Hardys have had a pretty decent title run since their shocking return at WrestleMania. It makes the most sense for them to drop the titles at this point, only to possibly regain them down the road. But Sheamus and Cesaro definitely need the tag titles here. The Raw Women's Championship in a kendo stick on a pole match.
Sorry,
Alexa Bliss, the future ex Mrs. John King versus the girl next door herself, Bayley. Kendo stick on a pole match. I see Bayley going extreme here and capturing the women's title.
I see that as well, actually. Everything's been written for her to go extreme and win the title.
Alexa has said, you'll never go extreme. You won't go down the path that you need to go down to beat me. I think this is a calling for Bayley to do this.
Yeah, so far we've got three title changes.
I completely agree. Three title changes. All right. And next match on the card is Intercontinental title match. This is something that I think the match might not deliver. It might not be a five-star classic, but it's definitely the match that I am most interested in the most. This match, aside from the main event, because the challenger, The Miz, single-handedly is making this entertaining. Intercontinental Championship match, Dean Ambrose versus The Miz.
I'm thinking Ambrose retains, but it'll be like a DQ finish where the DQ rule backfires in The Miz because The Miz gets DQ'd. And then they have a rematch. And then the title change happens the next night on Raw.
See, I disagree. I think The Miz beats him clean. I think The Miz goes over clean. He becomes the new Intercontinental Champion because I don't think WWE trusts Dean Ambrose with.
But I don't think they'll do four title changes in one night.
There's a first time for everything, Mike. There is a first time for everything.
They've reminded us of the last year.
Yes, they have. And the main event, Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt versus Samoa Joe. Winner gets number one contender versus Brock Lesnar's Universal title at Great Balls of Fire. I'm picking Finn Balor.
Yeah.
But my mind, I think if my heart is with Finn Balor, but my money's with Roman Reigns. So for that, I am officially picking Roman Reigns. My heart is with Finn Balor.
I'm picking Finn Balor, not just heart, head and heart.
And there you have it. Those are our picks. We're going to end tonight's show with a recommendation to watch. Look, guys, the WWE Network is a fantastic thing to get. It's the best $10 a month you're ever going to spend. And before the show, we watched the episode of Table for Three with Jim Cornette, Eric Bischoff, and Michael Hayes. And despite what you may feel about booking these days with Michael Hayes and what his role behind the scenes has been, to listen to two geniuses of the game.
And Michael Hayes.
And Michael Hayes go back and forth about booking, their mutual hatred for Vince Russo, which was hilarious, and how they would
book. The Archbishop of Talentbury.
That made me piss my pants laughing.
And they let Jim Cornette go into why he disliked DX and, you know, the Michaels. And
I'm surprised. The network put a lot of content that I did not think that they would allow.
They weren't allowing that, yeah.
So that is our recommendation of the week if you want to watch anything on a WWE Network. Our mission is to get people to say, you know what, WWE Network, not so bad, worth your $10. All right, that is our show. And I think this is the most appropriate entrance scene to close this stupid show with. Fucking James Ellsworth.
Duh. If a man has two hands.
If a man has two hands, you can kill yourself too.
He doesn't even deserve his own theme, let alone his own shirt. I love how they're like, let's use the most generic theme from the video game we can give him.
This was made using Apple loops. That's what this was. If someone just put together your basic drum, bass, and guitar riff together in Apple loops, that's what you get. You get James Ellsworth as team.
Zero. The number of chins James Ellsworth has and the percentage of effort the CFO has put into this theme.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Support the show. Follow us on Twitter at CapCrusherPod. On Facebook at CapCrusherPod. Full episodes on SoundCloud and iTunes. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat network. For Mike Falcone, my name is Hammy. You can follow him at Michael R. Falcone. You can follow me at Hamsgruber. Take care. We will see you next week.